At last, an informant was brought cringing into the royal tent. His name was Ephialtes, a native of the plain on which the Persian army was camped, and he it was who revealed to his interrogators that Kallidromus did indeed possess a secret. In the hope of a rich reward, he told the king about the trail which led over the mountain to Thermopylae, and even offered, in the truly fatal act of treachery, to serve the invaders as their guide. Immediately the fearsome machinery of the imperial army was set into smooth and deadly motion. Late in the day, though it already was, further delay was clearly out of the question. The ascent of Kallidromus was ordered for that very night. Nor was it to be attempted by the light infantry that Leonidas had presumed would be the only troops capable of making such a journey. The Immortals, their toughness bred amid the uplands of Iran, were a squad made for such an adventure. Bloodied the previous day in the pass, there was not a man among them who would not have relished his chance of revenge. Their commander, Hydarnes, and 10,000 men left at dusk. Their route began several miles west of the Hot Gates, west too of Trachis, and of the Esopus Gorge above which it stood. Behind them, as they began their ascent, watchfires were already starting to dot the plain, but soon the view of the camp was lost. Fortunately, just as Ephialtes had said it would be, the trail was easy to follow, and the moon, the fateful Carnean moon, full in a cloudless sky, outshone even the brilliance of the August stars. For hours the immortals marched, through silver light and shadow, swinging left across the broad plain which stretched beyond the high cliffs of Trachis, down into a valley, and then over the river Esopus. Here, beyond the far bank, the way at last grew steeper, and after an hour or so, breasting a fringe of oaks and pines, they reached the edge of another wide plateau. Ahead of them, past more woods, and over occasional stretches of open grass, the path wound on, still climbing, but gently once more, and the immortals, picking up speed again, began to round the peak that now loomed between them and Thermopylae. But gradually, as the stars began to fade, the gradient began to flatten out. The immortals passed into a wood of oaks. Even beneath the trees, however, the way ahead of them remained perfectly visible, for not only was it growing lighter by the minute, but the recent gales had swept bare the trellis of branches above them. Then, above the tramping of 10,000 pairs of feet, there came a sudden ringing, the sound of metal. Stepping forward to the edge of the trees, the immortal's commander saw, to his consternation, a garrison of hoplites blocking his path. He'd clearly taken them by surprise, for the Greeks were still struggling to pull on their armour. But Hydarnes had learnt the hard way not to underestimate the Spartans. When Ephialtes, however, reassured his master that he was not facing Leonidas' men, but the soldiers of another city, most likely Phocis, Hydarnes immediately gave his men the order to attack. Drawing their bows, the immortals duly fired a withering volley at the half-formed phalanx. The Phocians, lacking strategic good sense and taking it for granted that the barbarians had marched through the night with a specific goal of wiping them out, retreated chaotically to the top of a nearby hill. Here they steeled themselves to make a heroic final stand, only to see the immortals sweep contemptuously past them and continue along the open path.